Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants are K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Lalima Anija Tang, anchor.
The Union Cabinet, chaired by the Prime Minister, Shri Narendra Modi, today approved three major decisions. Union Minister of Information and Broadcasting, Shri Ashwini Vaishnav, held a briefing for media on this. Well, to discuss these decisions and their significance, we are now joined by Shri K.G. Suresh, political analyst. Welcome to Akashvani, Suresh ji.
Namaskar.
Suresh ji, we have seen that the government is spending a lot on improving infrastructure of the country, and today's three major decisions are much in tune with that policy. While one is related to lane construction in Punjab and Haryana, another is about doubling of Tirupati, Pakala, Katpadi single railway line in Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu. The third decision is about modernization of irrigation water supply network as a sub-scheme of Pradhan Mantri Krishi Sinchai Yojana 25-26. Now, how do you view all these in totality? Could you give us an overview?
Lalima, it is very clear that the government's priorities are in the right place. You see, infrastructure so as to facilitate industrialization, infrastructure so as to take care of pilgrimage, which would also result in income for the local community, promote tourism, simultaneously focus on farmers. Farmers has been central to this government right from the word go. And I think that from soil testing to now efficient use of water, now involving stakeholders, you know, and water user societies. These are things which are perhaps happening for the first time in the country, where the customers or the consumers will decide what is how efficiently to use water, you know. So there is a local, it's not the bureaucrats who are deciding, not the politicians who are deciding, but the users themselves, water user societies are going to determine the efficient usage of water, because there is a shortage of water in many parts of the country. And this is going to be a pilot project.
Suresh, you talked about farmers. Certainly, farmers have been very central to the government. And India's per acre crop production has been very low when compared to the US and China, even though we have huge tracts under cultivation. And Prime Minister has also referred to the need for, quote unquote, more crop per drop several times. We should also remember that 80% land owning farmers are of a small holding of less than 2 hectares of land. Now, will these initiatives help the small farmers?
Absolutely. The whole idea is to enhance productivity. Now, we have earlier also in the past, you know, brought in technology from Israel, drip, you know, irrigation systems. The whole idea is that, yes, there is a shortage of water, whether it is Vidarbha, whether it is Bundelkhand. But at the same time, how to maximum utilize the scarce resource? You know, we have to provide water. Only then can we, you know, already, thanks to the efforts of the government, you have states like which were earlier termed as Bimaru. States like Madhya Pradesh, which are today on the top of agricultural production, from wheat to rice to, you know, a whole range of crops.
Even millets.
Even millets, absolutely. So oil seeds.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, the whole focus is on efficiency. Efficiency is the focus of this, that how to, because we have resources, no doubt, but we also have a large population. We have large land with us, and how to efficiently utilize the scarce resources for the larger benefit of the people. And I think that this is one scheme which is going to really bring results. I'm sure that the pilot projects which would be undertaken initially in many districts would succeed, and then it would take a larger shape.
When you talk about consumption, there are two levels actually to it. One is domestic consumption of crops. We are also exporting crops to many other nations. So it will also give a boost to our exports.
Absolutely. Today, a large number of countries, including in our neighborhood, are looking for remunerative prices. But at the same time, you know, people are looking for, we are also ensuring that our farmers get remunerative prices. Many countries were dependent on the West for their, you know, for their wheat, for their food grains. But today they are getting quality food grains from India at comparatively reasonable prices. And India has that way become the food basket of the world. And in every sense of the term, we are encouraging crop production on a massive scale, not just crops, including horticulture we have given a lot of emphasis on, aquaculture we have given a lot of emphasis on. So I think the government's priorities are very clear. Animal husbandry we are giving a lot of emphasis. The whole idea at the end of the day is to strengthen our farmer community, because even today, a large portion of our economy is agriculture driven. So at the end of the day, unless we make our agriculture strong, it is difficult to just depend on your industries alone for the growth, for the development that we are looking at. When we are talking about a developed country in 2047, that means that equal emphasis has to be given to the rural areas, the agricultural pockets, and the government is doing so. And this is another step in that direction.
Yes, you're right. Actually, if you look at agriculture, even during pandemic, when there was an economic slowdown or it had reached a plateau, it was agriculture which was actually, there was a greater growth in agriculture, because as they say, everybody has to eat. You can't stop eating. You can stop consuming other things. And when you talk about these steps, the government has always been very emphatic about increasing the farmers' income. So as you talked about horticulture, aquaculture, animal husbandry as well, this would also help to increase the farmers' incomes?
Certainly, yes. The whole idea is to double the income as far as possible and not to make it dependent on only one source. Earlier, we used to have, you know, the whole dependency on one crop, then only one means of livelihood. Today, farmers are encouraged to grow multiple crops.
Right.
The farmers are encouraged to go for livestock, poultry, you know, aquaculture. So utilize the scarce land resources that there, as you rightly pointed out, the land holdings are small. How to make the best use of them so that their productivity increases? So how to utilize, so there is no dry season for them, you know. They are perennially engaged throughout the year. That is the whole idea. So a lot of education is taking place, soil testing is taking place, the appropriate crop for the appropriate land is being suggested. A lot of mobile applications have come in the market. E-mandis have come into place to ensure that the remunerative prices are paid. The middlemen do not take benefit or advantage of the vulnerabilities of the farmer. The farmer is saved from the vulnerabilities of the weather.
Yes.
So all these steps are being taken.
And you also talked about drip irrigation, which was discovered by Israel. And that has also been a success.
Yes.
In our country with the farmers.
Yes, in many parts of the country it has been, you know.
This
and you've seen a lot of subsidies being given by government, even in terms of water, in terms of, you know, helping them in bore wells, in water conservation. Preservation of water, you know, the water harvesting, which is being done not just in the rural areas, but even in the urban centers, so that the urban centers are not dependent on riverine water and they don't take away the water, which is basically meant for agriculture. So the whole idea is to preserve the water that we get through rainfall, our groundwater resources, you know, because it is fast getting depleted in many parts of the country.
Yes.
So how to enhance the water levels at the ground level, that is another priority of the government, you know. So a lot of, you have methods being the age-old traditional methods are being used to harvest water, that water doesn't go waste into the drains, but rather they are utilized. So even in urban pockets, a lot of green awards are being given at the state level, at the urban level, in the smart cities they are being used. So water is a priority, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to the age of Bowleys and other step wells.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's move on to the second decision approved by the cabinet. The PM recently inaugurated an absolute engineering marvel, the new Pamban Bridge in Rameshwaram, India's first vertical lift railway sea bridge. In today's decision, there will be doubling of Tirupati Pakala Katpadi single railway line, which is about 104 kilometers in Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu. Sureshji, how will this affect the 14 lakh population in about 400 villages which the project covers? Also
Absolutely.
Affect the Tirupati devotees?
Absolutely. You see, Tirupati is every day receiving lakhs of devotees, you know, and it doubles up during the festival seasons. So to cater to this population, you need a very efficient transport system, because people are not getting tickets, people are unable to reach their destinations. So this particular project is going to ease. And please remember one thing, the better the transport, the more the livelihood of the local population increases. Hospitality industry will widen, taxi services will grow. So you will see that, you know, the hospitality industry also grows from it. That means more employment opportunities for the local population, and also less pressure on the local transportation network because it also has to cater to the local population. I think that you have Sri Kalahasti temple is also there. A lot many pilgrimage sites are there on this particular route, where pilgrims not just from the southern part of the country, but from all over the world, all over the country, go to these very pious religious spots. And it is but natural that a majority of them certainly even today use the road and rail routes rather than the air route, which is still, you know, used by the people who can afford it. So majority of the people still use the rail route, but natural that I think the government has given a lot of importance to this project, and it is going to be enhance not just the transportation facilities in the region, but also the incomes of the local people.
Right. Also give an economic boost to the area there.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The cabinet approved construction of a 6-lane access controlled Zirakpur bypass with a length of 19.2 kilometers in Punjab and Haryana. Sureshji, will this decongest Zirakpur, Panchkula, and will it also help direct access to Himachal Pradesh?
Yes, certainly. You see, this again shows whether it is, you know, the Andhra Telangana, the projects, and the project in Punjab, or the project which is going to improve road transportation to Himachal Pradesh. These are facilities which are going to help governments which are not the same as the government at the center, the ruling party at the center. So I believe that in a way, this is how the federal government works, the union government works, without any discrimination. The whole idea is that, you know, whether it is Panchkula, whether it is Zirakpur in Punjab, the whole idea is to benefit the people of the country, the people of these states, the people in living in these cities, so that because they are today suffering because of the huge urbanization that has taken place, the infrastructure built up that has taken place, there's a huge population staying there. But at the same time, the transportation of essential commodities is very important. The smooth transport of goods and services are important, and particularly to a mountain state like Himachal Pradesh. So I believe that these are projects which are certainly going to benefit the common man at the end of the day.
Indeed, it endorses Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, Sabka Vishwas of the government. And when the government is committed to spending more capex in infrastructure, certainly it will give a boost to employment and also combat climate change. When a bypass is being built, it will certainly reduce the carbon footprint, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, so when you decongest and when you, in a way, ensure that less fuel is spent, you are also saving on fuel. When you are saving on fuel, it means that you are saving on precious foreign exchange that we give for purchasing this fuel. Then, of course, as you rightly pointed out, in terms of pollution. So it's a win-win situation overall. So Lalima, what I believe is that the government's focus is very clear. The government becomes very apparent from these projects that how to bring in more efficiency. We are looking at not just projecting, but actually making India a fully developed country. And for that, it is essential that we have the best of infrastructure. Our population is taken care of, you know, in terms of their economic and social security. And I think that whether it is the irrigation project or the scheme which has been today announced by the government, or the infrastructural, you know, initiatives, the railway line at Tirupati Katpadi and the Zirakpur road, I believe that this all highlights the government's priority of providing world-class structure and our dream of Viksit Bharat in a very paced, planned, and I would say that strategic way we move ahead on that path to self-reliance and Atmanirbhar Bharat.
So indeed, as the Prime Minister says, we want a Viksit Bharat by 2047. That's his dream. So we see that actually materializing when we see steps like these being taken, and development of such world-class development taking place that kind of endorses these dreams.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sureshji, for talking to Akashvani.
The pleasure was indeed mine.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Cabinet Decisions. The participants were K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.
Spotlight.